My name is Chris Wark. I am the creator of ChrisBeatCancer.com. My books are Chris Beat Cancer, Beat Cancer Daily, and my new book is Beat Cancer Kitchen.
Let's start with circling around to now. How are you doing now?
I am great. I'm in the best shape of my life, strong, fit, healthy, really, really glad to be alive.
Let's go back in time to darker days, let's say, when you were diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. Let's talk about the symptoms, first of all.
Yeah, typical symptoms are abdominal pain and dark stool. I did have both of those symptoms. The pain is a little bit weird because it'll come and go. You only feel pain when food, right, moves through the area of your colon where the tumor is. And you don't have a whole lot of nerve in your colon. So you don't feel food moving through there every day. Only when you have inflammation that you would feel these twinges of pain. And that's what I was feeling.
It got worse. You were sort of forced to go to the doctor. Why did you wait so long? I guess you're a typical guy, right?
Typical guy, for sure. I waited because initially it just wasn't bothersome. It would just be sort of a dull aching pain here and there, or a little twinge of pain here and there. And I thought, oh, maybe I've got an ulcer or something, and maybe hope it'll go away. That is kind of how it went for months. And then eventually it did start, the pain got to be noticeably more frequent and worse. And that's when I went to the doctor. I had a colonoscopy. They found a golf ball sized tumor in my large intestine, and the biopsy came back cancer.
You had that golf ball-sized tumor removed, and it started with a sloppy Joe meal in the hospital. Tell me about that.
Yeah. You know, I was 26 years old at the time. This was December 2003. For me, they wanted to get me right into surgery right away, and I went in on December 30th. They removed a third of my colon, removed the tumor, removed a bunch of lymph nodes, and I woke up. They said, it's worse than we thought. You're stage 3C. You're going to need 9 to 12 months of chemotherapy. And then the first meal that they served me after cutting out a third of my large intestine was a sloppy Joe. So that got the wheels turning a little bit. I got home from surgery. I had this increasing resistance to chemotherapy. Just the idea of poisoning my way back to health didn't make sense. My wife and I prayed about it. And 2 days later, I got a book in the mail that was written by a guy who had healed his own colon cancer with raw food. A radical change of diet and lifestyle. And I was so inspired and encouraged and hopeful by this man's story that he had healed that I decided that's what I was going to do. I wanted to change my life. It empowered me to take control of my health. And I realized that the way I was living was killing me. And that was actually an incredibly empowering revelation, because then I realized if I'm contributing to my illness, then I can contribute to my wellness. So overnight, I converted to a raw food diet, bought a juicer, and was just like, I'm doing this. I am going 100% total commitment to do everything in my power to help my body heal. There was a lot of people around me that didn't really agree with that approach, as you can imagine.
And isn't it easier, too? It's easier. You're so shaken. Your life is at stake. It would just be easier to do the expected thing. I guess that's in all of life. Just have chemo and everybody will be sympathetic. They'll be there for you. It's the expected thing.
You're so right. It's so much easier to go with the flow. And that's what most people do in life. They don't want to face opposition and criticism and be sort of viewed as a fool or a weirdo, right? In some ways, I kind of laugh about this because it was a little easier for me to do that, say no to chemotherapy and to chart my own path, because I'm an only child. And so I had sort of done that my whole life. I'd always done what I wanted to do. I was self-employed. I didn't work for anybody. You know, it's like, I don't want to work for anybody else. I want to create my own life and my own business. And I was a musician, and those qualities helped me. But just at the end of the day, I had all this pressure. It was really stressful, and everyone wanted me to do chemo. But there was a few core beliefs that really guided me. One was, again, I prayed, I asked for an answer, and this book showed up. I just thought, okay, changing my life, taking responsibility for my health, overdosing on nutrition, kind of got stuck in my head. You know, what would happen if I just pumped my body full of fruits and vegetables every single day? I've never done this before. I've never, quote, eaten healthy like this.
How did your body feel when you got started? Did it sort of rebel or?
I'm glad you asked. At the beginning of radical diet change, there's some confusion, right? Your body's kind of like, what's happening? What are you doing? You will also suffer from withdrawal. because when you cut out the sugar and the processed foods and all the food additives and flavors and colors and all the meat and dairy, yeah, you will feel withdrawal. So you may feel kind of lousy for a few days just eating fruits and vegetables, low energy, and just people will try it and be like, oh, I just didn't feel good. I tried that. You got to get over the hump. And it takes a few days, not a week, but a few days. And then you start feeling good. Your energy comes back. You have clarity. You sleep better. You start to feel good. And once I started feeling good, then it became easier. But once you kind of get in the groove, which I did, then things become very, very easy. And so my new book, Beat Cancer Kitchen, is really all about eating for optimal health and healing. And it's focused on eating whole plant foods, fruits and vegetables in lots of delicious ways and maximizing the anti-cancer nutrition that you're putting in your body. You can eat one healthy meal, but the benefit you get from one healthy meal, it's only a few hours of benefit to your body. Your body's going to use vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and all these wonderful phytonutrients in plant food. It's going to use them, but within a few hours after eating, maybe half a day. In some cases, some nutrients might help you for a day or two after you eat them, but then they're all used up. And so the key is really is creating this momentum where every single meal you are flooding your body, your bloodstream, your cells with vital nutrients that it can use to repair, regenerate, detoxify, and heal. Once I kind of got this vision, pumping my body full of this good stuff, it became easy to sustain. And frankly, I was excited to do it. I was excited to see what could happen in my body and in my life if I decided I'm going to change everything, and not just the diet, right? Exercise, started exercising. Yeah. I started getting a hold of my thoughts and choosing to think positively instead of negatively, choosing to not be jealous and envious of other people, choosing to practice gratitude and count my blessings.
It's hard to do that when you have cancer. After you get over the why me thing, it's okay, it is me. But look at him, he doesn't have cancer.
And I know I had those exact same thoughts of resentment, bitterness, and envy and jealousy just toward people who didn't have cancer. Those were unhealthy and toxic thoughts and emotions that I had struggled with my whole life. Envy and jealousy. I was never happy for other people's success. I was always envious of them.
I was surprised that you said that you didn't like yourself. The impression you get about you is that, wow, here's a guy who goes his own way. He's committed to something bigger than himself. He's got his act together spiritually.
We're all human. We all have our faults and flaws. And I had just been in a pattern of negative self-talk. You know, I had to just become very conscious and aware of how I was thinking about myself and how I was thinking about others. And again, I was negative. I was critical. I was judgmental. I was cynical, pessimistic, even though I was very ambitious and I had a strong will to live, which is why I was willing to change my whole life. I had good qualities, but I had some bad ones too. And this is, you know, just part of my message that I talk about in my first two books. There's so many things you can do physically. Diet and exercise are the main things. And of course, supplementation, and there's lots of therapies out there that you can do to help your body. But the mental, emotional, and spiritual work, if you don't do that, then the physical stuff is only going to give you a limited benefit. In other words, if you don't deal with the stress in your life, it can outweigh everything that you try to do to get well, because bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, guilt and shame, these emotions are so toxic. They suppress your immune system. This is not an esoteric idea. This is scientifically proven. Negative emotions promote inflammation in your body, suppress your immune system, and keep you in a state of fight or flight.
How many people were on your please forgive me list? I was very impressed by the fact that you called these people who you have wronged or may have hurt. How did that go? And were there a lot of people?
Yeah, everybody has a lot of people on that list. The wonderful thing about forgiveness is, you know, forgiveness happens three ways. There's you getting right with God and saying, forgive me for the things that are on your conscience. There's you going to people that you know you've hurt and saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong, right? I hope you'll forgive me. And even if they say, I don't forgive you, you've done your part. You've humbled yourself and you've done your part. Whether they forgive you, that's up to them. But it takes the weight off of you when you humble yourself and say, you were right, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I hope you'll forgive me. Third aspect of forgiveness is you have to forgive the people who have hurt you. And they don't have to ask you for forgiveness for this to happen. You just have to make a decision to forgive, to let it go. And what I would do is I would just say, God, I forgive them. As you're thinking through your life, and I did like a life inventory.
Wow.
It sounds complicated. It's not. It basically just means thinking through your life, through your past, opening the filing cabinet where you're keeping the painful memories, and one by one, dealing with them head on, consciously. Okay, let me think back as far as I can. Who hurt my feelings on the playground? Right?
Wow, right. That's going back.
Yeah, as far back as you can. Who was mean to me? Siblings, kids at school, whoever. And just one by one, like just search the memory banks. And as each memory comes up that has a little bit of pain attached to it, I would just say, God, you know what they did? And you know how I feel about it? It still hurts, right? I still feel that pain. And I'm just surrendering it. I'm letting it go. I'm not going to carry this anger or resentment anymore. I'm just choosing to forgive them. That is the prayer. It's very simple, right? That's the forgiveness prayer. You're just making a decision to forgive. Your feelings have nothing to do with it because nobody wants to forgive. We want to hold on to the anger and the resentments towards people that have hurt us. But the problem is, as the saying goes, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping that it hurts someone else. The longer you hold on to bitterness, the sicker you get. Bitterness pollutes your heart. It poisons your heart. And if you have a sick heart, which eventually you will, you're going to have a sick body. The only way to heal your body is to heal your heart. You got to heal your heart.
You went about this in a multi-pronged kind of way. Do you blame any one thing for your cancer?
I don't blame one thing. There are certainly a lot of known cancer causers in the world, and I talk about these in my first book. Basically, I try to do two things at the same time. One, educate my audience on the known causes of cancer. What's causing cancer? And then once you know those things, then you need to learn what you can do to eliminate them from your life. So part of that is identifying your bad habits and replacing them with good habits. Understanding how certain foods contribute to chronic disease like cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Eating a Western diet, tons of meat and dairy, processed food, and junk food. That's going to make you sick over time. It contributes to disease. It's like you got to have that awareness that there's a problem, and then you got to have a solution, which is you can eat a plant-based diet, tons of fruits and vegetables, and your risk drops really, really low. Your risk of heart disease and cancer and diabetes drops to the lowest percentage possible. Not to zero necessarily, but very, very low. I don't have one thing that I can say. And some people do. Some people are like, oh, I was in Chernobyl. You know what I'm saying? For most people, cancer is a convergence of a multitude of factors, health-destroying factors in their life that persist over time. And usually the biggest one is stress. Almost every cancer patient I've talked to, they had chronic stress. They had a lot of problems and worries and fears and bitterness and resentment. And they just struggled with a lot of negative emotions and difficult situations in life. They might have had some traumatic events in their life and some traumatic losses, death in their life. And those, over time, all of that trauma and stress, A, it beat them down and kept them in a state of immunosuppression because they're just in a constant state of fight or flight. That led them down the path to disease. And it's important to understand that the problem with stress is there's a compounding effect. One is what I just described is the physical state of your body of immunosuppression and inflammation. But two is that the way we deal with stress is we self-medicate. When you're stressed, you are going to find a way to alleviate the stress, the pressure, the worry, the anxiety. And the way we self-medicate is with overeating, drugs, alcohol, cigarette, pornography, gambling, spending more money than you have, video game addiction, social media addiction, binge watching, anything to escape. And in doing those things, none of those things solve the problem that's causing the stress. And what they do is they compound the problem because you're not dealing with it. And you know, a lot of problems, if you don't deal with them, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. If there's water dripping from your ceiling, you can put a bucket under it and you can prevent that water from damaging your floors. But the water's going to keep dripping. And eventually, your ceiling is going to become saturated with water and it's going to fall in. Putting a bucket under a drip, you're not solving a problem. You're only mitigating the damage. This is what prescription drugs typically do. They mitigate the damage or they mitigate the symptoms. They alleviate the symptoms, but they don't solve the problem. And the longer the problem persists, the more damage it's going to cause. And so you got to get to the root cause. This applies to life. We have to face our problems head on. I hope folks will pay attention to the message because one out of every two men and one out of every three women are predicted to get diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. So if you don't have cancer, if you're not serious about cancer prevention, you should be.
Have you had any recurrences or any scares?
No.
Wow.
No. And I live my life today. It's been almost 18 years. And so I live my life today in a way that is preventative. Prevention is a big deal to me. I'm only 44 years old, so I plan on living another 40, 50, 60 years, and I'd like those years to be healthy and disease-free. So I make decisions today to create a healthy tomorrow. So I eat healthy today because I want to be healthy tomorrow. I exercise today because I want to be fit and strong tomorrow. I forgive today because I want to be happy and I want people to forgive me tomorrow. That's the way I'm living my life now.
Well, very well said. Thank you so much for talking to me.